Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning comes from our gospel lesson from Matthew that was read a few moments ago. The title of my message is, God Does Give You More Than You Can Handle. So you're standing over the bedside of a loved one who is suffering, a loved one who is dying. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You desperately want to bring this person comfort and help them through this difficult time. And as these thoughts are racing through your mind, she turns to you and says, "Please tell me, why is this happening to me?" Now, before you can even formulate a response to this weighty question, someone else in the room pipes up and states matter-of-factly, "Well, you have to understand, we live in a sinful world. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God and ate the forbidden fruit, that sparked a chain reaction that brought sin and evil into this world. What you are experiencing right now is simply a result of that brokenness. A fundamental reading of the book of Genesis demonstrates it's really not that complicated." After sharing that fictional story, I can sense a collective cringe. As Christians, we all know that it is important to study God's word and to have a good understanding of theology. But isn't it just as important of how we apply that theology into people's lives? Applying God's word in a gentle, loving, and humble way is what we call being pastoral. And being pastoral isn't just for pastors, it's for all Christians. My goal for you this morning is that you would seek to be more pastoral in the spiritual care that you provide to others. Now, there is certainly some biblical truth to the previous insensitive person's response. But we have to recognize that a hospital bedside is not the time or place for this sort of retort. When we see another person suffering, it is not a responsibility to explain it away, but rather lead them to the only one who can help them through it. I don't know about you, but when I see someone hurting, I feel so helpless. I'm tempted to say anything and everything I can to try and fix it, to make them feel better. But often our well-intentioned words can make things even worse. A phrase that I've been guilty of saying a number of occasions is, "It's going to be okay." The truth, however, is that it's not okay, and we don't know if it's going to be okay. That person is enduring real hurt, pain, and great loss. And by me saying it's going to be okay doesn't change that. There are a number of inappropriate things that people can say to those who are suffering. But the unhelpful phrase I'd really like to zero in on this morning is, "God won't give you more than you can handle." Have you ever heard that one? Have you ever found yourself saying that one? The problem with this phrase, although maybe well-intentioned, is that not only is it unhelpful, it's unbiblical. Show me in the Bible where it says, "God won't give you more than you can handle." Perhaps you might point to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where Paul says, "No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Now, that is a great Bible verse, one of my favorites. And it does bring a lot of comfort. It tells me that God is bigger and stronger than any temptation that I may face. But it doesn't say that God won't give you more than you can handle. He does give us more than we can handle, but then he handles it. He provides a way through it. He delivers me from it. Let me drill down on this idea a little more with one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 40. The two first verses go like this. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." The first verse may seem like this very pious action by the psalmist. He waited patiently for the Lord. You know what I think? I think he was out of options. I think that the pit he was in was so miry and so deep that there was no way that he was getting out of there. Who knows? Maybe he had already exercised all of his options. His voice hoarse from screaming for help so long. His fingernails probably worn down from all the attempts to climb out. He wasn't waiting patiently for God because of his great faith, but because that was all that he could do. God had given him more than he could handle, and he needed God to handle it. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been in that dank, dark pit with no way out. A situation that seemed hopeless. A situation that seemed impossible. Think of it this way. At one point, Jesus tells his disciples, "You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Talk about God giving you more than you can handle. That standard is much too high for any of us. That standard is impossible. And so you may counter and say, "Well, Pastor, God wouldn't give us an impossible task. That's just mean. That's unfair. God wouldn't do that." Well, sure he would. That's actually what the law is for. The law isn't a bunch of rules for us to prove our own faithfulness to God or demonstrate what good people we are. The law is there to show us what bad people we are. The law drives us into that pit of destruction. The law helps us realize that we aren't getting out of this mess on our own. It forces us to wait for the Lord. It forces us to look to Christ, to look to the cross. It compels us to listen to Jesus and his words of promise, promise like we have in our gospel lesson today. "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest." What a wonderful promise. You see, Jesus takes the burden upon himself. He gave you and me more than we could handle. His expectation is to be perfect, but we could not live up to that standard. So what did Jesus do? He lived the perfect life for us. And then he took all of our sins, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our burdens, and he carried them all the way to the cross. He gave us more than we could handle, and then he handled it himself. This is the good news of the gospel that we all share. You and I don't have to shoulder our own burdens. We may find ourselves in some very difficult situations in life, but when we do, God does all the heavy lifting. This is what Jesus is teaching us today. At the beginning of our text from Matthew, Jesus thanks his heavenly Father for hiding these things from the wise and understanding and revealing them to little children. Why does this please Jesus so? It's not because children are intrinsically better than adults, right? Isn't it because of what children are like? They are dependent. They are not full of their own wisdom and understanding. Children need help. See, God doesn't want us to act like we can figure things out all on our own. You aren't going to fix your own life by reading a bunch of self-help books or by having a more positive attitude or by working that much harder in life. You're going to fix your life by letting God fix it. And you certainly aren't going to fix someone else's life either. When someone is being crushed by the weight of the world, the best thing that we can do is to be present with them, to hurt with them, and to listen to them. Recently, I attended a special mental health presentation with the Coast Guard. A man named David Bartley, who has a special place in his heart for Coasties, has been sharing his story all over District 7 of the Coast Guard. This man attempted to kill himself. But by the grace of God, someone intervened, and he is still alive today. One thing about his presentation that really stood out to me was his explanation of why people kill themselves. He said people don't kill themselves because of what they think. Their actions are based on what they feel. They often feel this intense, unrelenting emotional pain. They feel like a burden. They feel trapped. They feel ashamed, overwhelmed, and alone. And these feelings are often based off of irrational beliefs. Although someone may feel worthless and alone, the individual is often surrounded by a loving community that values them, that loves him, that wants him to be happy, healthy, and successful. But our feelings, our emotions are so powerful that they override any logic. So why do I bring this up? because I believe that Mr. Bartley's firsthand knowledge and experience sheds some important light on how we as Christians should respond pastorally to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbors. In a moment of crisis, you are not going to be able to explain away someone's pain and suffering. There is no silver bullet Bible verse. There is no perfect prayer. There is no airtight theological argument you can make. And even if there was, more often than not, those who are in crisis are past the point of rationality. But you know what can break through that barrier of hurt and pain? Connection, love, hope. This is a little cliche, but I think it's a great reminder. When you look at the phrase mental illness, you see an I at the beginning of illness. If the goal is mental wellness, we need to change that I to a we. We are the body of Christ, and we hurt with one another. We support one another. We encourage one another. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that when you're ministering to someone who is hurting that you shouldn't share God's word with them or pray with them. Of course, we do these things. His word of promise is what gives us hope. It's what helps us to know his love, his mercy, and his grace. Through Christ, God has promised to hear and answer the prayers of his people. But what I am challenging you to do is to think back to that story that I started with. Your suffering loved one turns to you and says, please tell me why this is happening to me. Now, I don't have the answer. Every person and every situation is different. But my encouragement for you today is that when you find yourself in a situation like this, remember Jesus' words from our gospel lesson today. Remember that you are just a dependent, helpless child. It's not your job to swoop in and save the day. So whatever you say, whatever you do, in a loving, humble fashion, take the hand of your brother or sister and simply lead them to their Savior Jesus. Walk together hand in hand to the only one who can provide true comfort and rest. As we read further, Jesus goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As a city kid, I had to look these things up, but after just a little study, my understanding is that a yoke is a contraption that is placed on an animal such as an ox that allows them to pull a heavy load and get work done. Now, at first glance, it may seem odd that Jesus tells us to take his yoke upon us, even if it is a light one. I've been talking this whole time about how Jesus takes our burdens, not the other way around. But what we have to understand is that this yoke Jesus is talking about is really no yoke at all. If you listen carefully to Jesus' words, the yoke that we are taking on is simply to learn from him. The only burden laid upon us is to sit upon at Jesus' feet and hear of his great love for us, which of course is no burden at all. Each of you here who are at church this morning are taking Jesus' yoke upon you. Your only task is to come here as hurting, broken, tired people and be refreshed by God's word, by God's sacrament. Come, all you who are wearied and burdened, and Christ will give you rest. This is the yoke that you and I wear. And so knowing this great truth should inform how we provide spiritual care to others. We should be asking ourselves this question: what is a pastoral approach to helping others in times of suffering and great need? Well, it certainly isn't pastoral to lay a heavier burden on someone who is already being crushed by the weight of the world. When someone is suffering, don't tell them it's going to be okay. Certainly don't tell them to have more faith. And don't tell them that God won't give them more than they can handle. When someone is suffering, suffer with them. Listen to their heart and gently lead them to the one who promises to take their burdens and give them rest for their soul. Acknowledge the person's pain and suffering and admit that God has given them more than they can handle. But then allow the Spirit to lead you both into prayer, to lead you to Jesus, the one who will handle it for them, the one who will handle it for us all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.